Yeah, and I think, you know, the other thing that has really jumped out at me over the last couple of months is in some of our best practices discussions with other agencies, how consolidation just has become the operating standard and the operating norm for emergency services. And, you know, to some extent, I think maybe it was Chief Collins who was sitting here who talked about, in reality, from a state and even from a federal level, more and more organizations are looking at themselves as emergency services agencies or organizations as opposed to being fire or EMS. And I think for our departments, this integration outside of anybody taking leadership role was already starting to happen organically more and more. I mean, there's more firefighters and EMS training
right now,
last class and currently. And currently, it's substantial. And a number of EMS staff who came over to Fire Academy. So I think for everybody's personal experience on scene, there's already this organic desire to try to work together and to be able to train together. So I think the integration part of this, from a best practices standpoint, makes sense for a community of our size. If we were in a large community, maybe not, but the state standard seems to be, and the best practice seems to be, having more integrated services and less segregated.
That I might disagree with. I think we're down now to about 60% integrated systems
in
the U.S.
In the U.S.
Yeah, just as fire EMS. But I still value what you're saying, and actually I agree with all of them. I mean, it's actually the points in my estimation that are the that is the substance of what this document needs to be, is just kind of what you guys have started to share. And that's really what I wanted to get to, because again, the levy, the districting, all that is merely just things that are where...
It's mechanics.
Yeah, it's the mechanics. Yeah.
And that's, you're right, it should have some higher reason for happening
right.
than just because we can do it. And we know how to do it.
Yeah.
But I think the synergy that comes about from what you were just hearing, most of what Mark was talking about on scene, and the training and recruitment aspects of being together a lot more, is going to improve all aspects of the boots on the ground level of participation in the two agencies.
I think that's been a worry. I mean, from the beginning, that was one of the early things that we had talked about, was just a concern with a limited pool of volunteers available. Having two organizations trying to drive volunteer-based services is really challenging and may get more challenging over time, depending on the demographics of the island.
Coordinating training and stuff is going to be a lot easier if you're doing it together. And not only do they get better by working together, but they also can do both, and you'll have firefighter paramedics that you might not otherwise have because if they're totally separate, then they're going to have overlapping demands and stuff's going to go badly.
Our tiny little example of it was Orca's Fire and Rescue had their annual dinner this past weekend, and we take turns. They came over and cover for us, so when they come over and cover for us, it's pretty easy. When we go over and cover for them, we have to send an EMS crew with an EMS vehicle and a fire crew with a fire vehicle because fire doesn't provide.
Yeah, we can't send one crew.
Provider, yeah. So it's just, we double do, we're forced sometimes to double do things.
And I think it's those synergies at that level that are going to be the bigger win than most anything else that you see, and hopefully with the right leadership. And that's always been a big risk, that you get the right people, but with the right people at the top, the folks working on the ground are going to have better training, more cross-training. You'll have an easier time recruiting because it'll be more interesting to be able to do both, and they'll have an easier time getting trained to be
both. You get more calls, you get to spread out. I mean, it's one of those other nuances that hasn't ever been an issue on a scene, but we go to scenes and you have a firefighter, EMT, and they're in bunker gear, they generally don't do any patient care. And we've had this dual role or dual command And so fire's like, okay, are you working for us or not working for us? If you're working for EMS, then give your, you know, don't be wearing your stuff because we assume you're working for us. And so, it hasn't created any issues on scene, but it has that potential where you have these people who want to care for the patient and do what they need to do, or like, okay, am I actually doing this? Is this the fire portion of this, or is this the EMS portion of this? And it's, again, hasn't caused an issue that I'm aware of, but has been a conflict for some. For me, it's easy because I'm just a fire guy. I don't do any EMT stuff. So if I'm, I listen to the paramedic and they tell me what they want if I'm doing anything with the patient. But the other folks, sometimes they look at them and say, you're an EMT, get in here and do this. And they might be on a fire crew doing another task. And they're like, no, I ain't doing that.
So it kind of raises a chain of command issue.
It does.
It's always an issue on the scene. Because if you've got this guy as your boss and somebody else comes over and says, I need you to do this, the real answer is tell him and have him tell me so I can go do that. Because you don't want him not knowing where the hell you are and what you're doing. And if you're an EMT and you're in two organizations... as you're a firefighter also, and you go not knowing, who am I really working for today? And how do I respond when I get two guys telling me the reason? But if it's all coordinated, then it's simple.
And again, I'll stress it has, to my knowledge, not caused any issues on a scene, but I know it has, you know, when the EMS shows up, it's pretty obvious they're not working fire because they're not wearing any bunker gear. But in the reverse, when the firefighters show up and they are EMTs and they're in bunker gear, and all of a sudden down the road they're in patient care, there have been times, okay, are you now working for EMS? Yes. Okay, we'll take you off of this and we'll fill somebody else into that hole.
Officer on the scene has to know who's responsible for you and all that.
So, other things?
On the leadership point, as we look forward and we try to create, I think one of the values that's important, and we talked about it last time, and if I'm beating this poor thing to death on that.
No.
But the data and the metric side of what we're recommending is very, very important, because I think from a community standpoint, the ability to provide data that can show what the level of service is today and what improvements are going to be made over time. Because if I'm a taxpayer, I want to know, if we're going to combine two organizations, I want to know what the levels of service are, and I want to be able to measure that. I want to be able to measure it in perpetuity, year to year. And that should, those numbers should be as public as they ought to be.
They should have a dashboard on their website saying, you know, here's our standard. We want to be apparatus rolling in 5 minutes. And here's our average roll time, 4.65, or whatever the case may be. And I don't know, I mean, again, I think we heard from some folks, be careful with some of that stuff, and it's based on how the operation is set up. But my whole vision of this was really to set it up, and this would be the challenge, I think, when you combine these two, is to provide that 24/7 response, and you would have to have crews, and just like what Orcus was talking about, what Scott was talking about, where they have a firefighter paramedic and a firefighter EMT on shift 24/7. That would be my vision, and that would be the value the citizens would receive from this. That'd be some of that synergies where you'd have apparatus rolling 24/7, you'd have people on scene. You'd be down to a 2 or 3 minute response, at least with apparatus rolling out the door. They wouldn't be on scene that fast, but you would be out the door that fast. Right now, that's not happening. Now, again, I don't know with the new situation at EMS, if it's happening in EMS, but certainly not happening on fire.
Do we believe that the leadership is going to take it that way?
That I don't know. Correct. That would be my recommendation. They might take none of our recommendations. They might say our recommendation is heck with you guys. We're not going to listen to you. But that's what I would want to recommend, is if you're going to do it, then you need to improve the service. I agree 100% with you. Just don't do it because. Let's improve the system. Let's improve the service.
And the quality control portion of that's really important, because to get to your point, Rick, which is a real concern, we don't want to take something that functions okay today and make it worse. That would be a disaster. So the ability to have measurements that we can see, and if we're not achieving those measurements, then we've got to find out why and make improvements to the system. But I'm not confident today that we've got enough data to know. I really don't know how we're doing. I have no
nobody real... nobody does on the EMS side.
Yeah. Think.
Well, actually, what
I was going to say.
But hold on 1 second. Go ahead and finish your thought, George.
Because... Well, what I was going to say is we can't wait for a year's worth of data collection to write a report. So my sense is that we have to say, first step, get the data.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, get it.
Right.
And then look at it and decide, you know, what is the baseline. And if you do this, you know, those are the measurements that should be improving. And, you know, take the data, keep taking the data and collect the data and keep refining it until you know that you're making progress or you're not. Don't do it if you don't know that you're going to make progress. So
part of me asking was to turn to you guys, who are the public and who are one element of the board,
yeah,
and see, are you sold? Or is it?
I'm just
saying, are you seeing it like I'm seeing it?
Well,
or?
I'm sharing your concern, because I think for me, you know, we added to our budget this year to have 2 paid EMTs to add that. Because something that I've been really concerned about is that the ambulances aren't going out the door when they should. I mean, like, they're not showing up. And, like, you talk to dispatch, and the call is going out multiple times, and often the volunteers aren't there. You know, they're coming from home. In my mind, the goal of this group is to figure out how we provide the best service, emergency services, to the community, right? That's the number one question. So, you know, we've asked the chief for more information beyond we were within rural response times. And, you know, it's really difficult to get that information from him. We've asked him to break it down to, like, what's the town response, and then you've got, and then he's like, and the rest is rural. I'm like, yeah, but that's really different than 3 miles from town and then Roche Harbor or the Cape. So that data isn't there.
It exists. You just have to ask for it. Dispatch keeps the page out.
Dispatch has it.
Yeah, but you can ask for it.
And I've started that process of getting the data.
But I don't think we want to try to reduce the data in time to make recommendations.
No.
Well, so, and also I want to say that, like, ultimately, you're drawing from the same volunteer pool, right? Fire and EMS. So consolidating that does, you know, volunteerism is dropping. So it's ultimately beneficial, it would seem, if you're pulling them. And so often I see the ambulances and the fire trucks rolling out to the same call. So
it happens more and more now.
Yeah. So it just seems like, you know, we're using resources of 2 agencies, why not make them one and not have such a burden on our volunteers, which we rely on to run both of them.
Karen, you were going to...
Well, I come at it from a slightly different point of view. I'm concerned. I don't have an opinion right now. Yes, consolidation, no consolidation. But I'm very concerned about the leadership question, and I'm very concerned about the timing in relation to the leadership question. We have a new interim chief, untested in that role. Mm-hmm. We have a new fire chief, untested really, in his role. He looks good, but he's pretty bushy-tailed, and this is honeymoon time.
I'm putting that in the minutes, Karen.
Thank God it's in the public
we have 4 public hospital district commissioner seats up for election this fall.
Yeah, that's
and we have 2 fire district commissioner seats up for election this fall. Mm-hmm. And in addition, we can it's relatively simple to expand the fire commission from 3 to 5, but it takes time. You've got to go to a special election to get permission from the voters, and then you appoint 2 people, and then at the next regular fire district election, you get 2 elected officials in place. During all of this, EMS, which is subject to serious, and I suppose fire is too, I know less about it, subject to serious state and federal law, including on matters like the MPD, Medical Program Director, who's minding the store? Who's nurturing EMS? Who's making sure that the whole thing doesn't just fall apart? I see a vacuum in the leadership area that I think you guys ought to pay attention to in thinking about your recommendation. It's going to be much more difficult than I think you are articulating to bring the 2 agencies together and to create a governance structure or an organizational structure that doesn't take 5 years to put into place.
You know, Karen, I think I appreciate that comment, and that's been a concern, I think, from the beginning as we began meeting. It's been a personal concern of mine. Although I do think in this role, as you know, we're not elected people, and we're talking about 2 elected boards where voters have elected board members, and it gets awfully difficult, and I feel very, very uncomfortable in this role. It's different for me as a person, as a voter, trying to hold my elected officials accountable. But I think for us to make recommendations that are not political and seen as being independent, there's a pretty bright line about making recommendations that are not getting into the governance issue specifically, because I just don't see that that's our role. That's really the role of the voters to hold their elected officials accountable. It's not the role of the Citizens Advisory Group to do that.
Do you not think that you have an obligation to point out the difficulties in the leadership of EMS?
Absolutely.
Please do, yes.
And then take it another step?
I don't know about taking it another step, though.
Which part of what I said don't you like particularly?
I think elected officials are elected by the voters.
Right.
And it's up to the voters to hold those elected officials accountable. It's not up to an independent citizens advisory group
that's
to hold those elected officials
I'm not asking you to hold the elected officials accountable. I'm saying at the moment there is a dearth of elected officials in effect to manage EMS on account of it's just a fortuitous timing condition. And to me, because governance of EMS has been so difficult for the last 10 years, this is something you should at least talk about among yourselves. How would this work?
That's a very fair comment, and I don't think, I mean, I think there is a concern about governance relative to if we're making recommendations and we start to look at the mechanics of how this works. How do we do this in a way where we're able to try to ensure A, success, and B, that the fundamental public safety service is done in its most appropriate way possible? So it's not ignoring that.
But if EMS has no representation, has no inadequate leadership, the whole thing falls apart, and then where are you?
Well, I think if we do this well,
I guess I don't understand what you're saying. So let's just play it through. So let's say that we recommend that they merge 2 operations, and the 2 bodies say, yes, we want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it becomes 1 entity at that point. Once you merge them,
mm-hmm.
you don't have separate entities, and now whoever is running it, in this case, let's say it goes to the fire department, is now Chief Collins, That's his responsibility to implement the system. He is responsible for both, and he needs to make sure that the citizens are being served appropriately for both fire and
EMS.
But he
reports to his commissioners.
He reports to his commissioners. That is absolutely correct. But it's his responsibility, and his commissioner need to hold him accountable. So you don't have a separate EMS chief coming in there and being held accountable. That goes away. He might have an assistant chief, but that person would report to him.
And none of the commissioners in the fire department know squat about EMS. And that's
I have a problem with the concept of who's in the chairs should dictate what's going to happen to the merging of these agencies or not, which is going to be with us for the next two decades or longer, given. So who's in what chairs should not drive this decision? Incompetent management, get rid of them. If we have incompetent commissioners, get rid of them.
And that's
what we need to do is assume that they're going to eventually have competent people at each level, governance and management, and design a system that if there were competent chiefs and if there were competent commissioners and if we assume we need five fire commissioners, that they're going to get five good fire commissioners, that's the agency model that we have to assume. And you don't want to split this off from here because those guys are lousy and these guys are better, because the next round of officials, those guys are going to be bouncy, and these guys, and they're going to be bouncing it back, and it's not going to work to do that. So I'm looking at 10, 20 years down the road saying, what do we want this to look like, assuming we have competent people in all of those appropriate places? It may have been a mess for the last 10 years. I can't fix that at this point, but I certainly don't want to say that because of the last 10 years it was a mess, we now have to make this change. Because maybe the mess will be over there in 10 years. And,
isn't it ultimately just up to the public whether
of course.
This is
happening? It is.
And that's why I have to try to divorce the personalities in the chairs from the actual structure of the organization and the governance structures and all the rest of that.
I was just going to say, what I think we can, though, construct in the document, though, is that the overall values that need to be placed in the organization to assure that both fire and EMS is equally viewed, and that its values back to the citizens are fully understood and fully taken care of, and that if they're not, then there should be a view by the residents, by the voters, to say, this is what you want to follow. And I think that's what we could have a charge to do, and a pretty important charge.
Yeah, in a post-CAG world, post-CAG.
That's only 2 months from now. Just saying.
In a post-CAG world, it's certainly an issue for any of us to be able to say, you guys wanted a group to do this work, here's the work, so what are you doing about it? It really starts to frame up and hopefully gets to that point where we can say, here's the community's expectations for levels of service and what we're willing to pay for it. And there it is. So this is how we hold you accountable now. So in some ways, I hope it becomes kind of a foundation document that way.
We didn't do this work 25 years ago when it walked across from fire to hospital. We did it for personalities in the chairs.
Right.
That's why we're where we are. I think it would have been a good idea to think through how this might work.
We can capture the last 45 minutes in the document very well as kind of the fundamental of why. Just what you were saying is the value proposition to why this is happening. That, we are going to see better consolidation, coordination, training, those kinds of things. And then we need to, I believe, have measurable. I don't think you're right. I don't think we'll understand what those values should be, but those values should be measured. And they should be reported back by that board every month
Yeah, I think it should be stated that that's a goal of this.
Yeah, they have measurable standards.
The process is to have measurable outcomes.
Yeah, that they need to meet and so forth. And I think if we do that, in my estimation, we've hit a home run. Whether they follow it or not, we can still go back to the document as voters and say,
make that one of the criterion, which is, unless you do the data, you shouldn't do the rest of this because you won't know if you're making progress.
Right.
So do that first.
Right.
And then keep doing it every month.
Right.
And then you can make the changes and see how well.
And we can even say in the document, give us the baseline.
Yeah.
You set the baseline. You look at your data.
Yeah.
But then let us measure.
I mean, we can come up with some of it if we want to.
Sure.
Through the vehicle.
Sure.
Like we talked about with the 911 guys.
Or if nothing else, just say that you need to have some measurable outcomes, whatever they may be. You're going to be talking to Sullivan about it. But I think there's some real basic ones that you could get quite easily that
I think
would be easy to report, such as the time out the door, the time on scene, number of people that were there. I mean, it could be things that would be quite easy for them.
I would actually report on a monthly basis. You know, the biggest thing I would like to hear is an MPD report every month.
Right. Yes.
What the outcomes of the patients, to the degree that he's capable of doing that within the confines of medicine. You know, that's the kind of stuff I would. And then I think, man, I'm on board and I'm out there, doing it. And you know, those metrics are going to change in the 10 years, in the 20 years, and the people changes and so forth. But we need to start those things. And if we can bring that about, I think it's huge.
Don't disagree, but to me, I think, you know, there's some real basic things now that they both should be reporting so that their elected officials know, hey, we didn't roll this unit for 18 minutes. What in the hell happened?
We're not the only ones doing this, by the way.
There's a standard out there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there are.
We don't have to invent the wheel here.
We don't.
We don't have to come up with standards that nobody's
ever heard. But we have to.
People are doing
this. But we have to hear them, and we're not hearing them. I've sat in both of them and board meetings, and I've heard more out of fire, but I've not heard enough out of that either one of them to say that, geez, I could really measure you against X, Y, or even my perception of what you should be.
I bet you in 10 minutes, Katie, off the top of her head, could tell you 90% of what they should be doing every month in that statistical regard. And I think 90% of the agencies out there are doing it. The fact that we haven't been is more the anomaly.
And I would like them to measure their financial responsibilities to the data. In other words, why are you hiring four people? And what is going to be an achievable return for that, for those four individuals? And
that's
so
normal
forth.
How you justify getting your position.
It is, but I haven't seen any of that.
Okay.
You know, why are you going to build a new building? What is your return on those things? So, and you know what? Everything that you guys said, just got to get it on paper now. But at least it's on tape.
It did used to happen. I mean, I retired from the fire department 20 years ago, but when I was a firefighter and first responder, I went to the Monday night EMT meetings, and we would, first Monday of the month or whatever it was, would have a run report for the last month's calls. And we knew the outcomes of anyone that was an anomaly or an interesting case for some reason. We would talk about, but we knew the outcomes.
But that was in your training sessions. That's not really at the public meeting.
No, it wasn't a public meeting because for a lot of reasons, including what would now be HIPAA, even though HIPAA wasn't around at the time.
Exactly.
We didn't talk about names of patients. Right. We didn't talk because in this community, if you say, you know, that vehicle accident on Beaverton Valley, we know instantly, that was Fred when he was drunk and ran off the road, wasn't it? Yeah. You can't do that here.
Other cities provide annual reports to their citizens.
Yeah.
That's true.
Police response, fire response, EMT response.
Yeah.
And it should be a publicly reportable, and it should be...
The distilled statistics, you know, somewhat anonymized,
yeah,
can be done
publicly. Mm-hmm.
and are done in bigger agencies all the time.
They are all
in ways that can be reported and the public can react.
And it's very beneficial, as defensive as departments get when you start having these discussions. It becomes a great opportunity for having citizens stand up and say, we need more grant money, we need more resources, we're willing to pay more. It plays out usually more on the positive side than the negative side.
So based on what we just did the last 45 minutes, where do we go to for the next hour? What do we want to try to finish off if those value propositions happen? And so forth, I'm in favor.
Well, let's try to codify what it is that we decided we need to have in the way of statistical data reporting, whatever, things. What things do we want to include as sort of a requirement for good management here that goes into the report? So if you're going to do anything, you have to start here. Do these things first, and then you can tell how you're doing down the road. Do we want to say that they need to, you know, collect the 911 data on a regular basis, to, you know, look at that data and see if it's, you know, getting better or worse, and see that it is getting better? If you're going to, you know, justify this as one of the reasons for doing it is you get better results, well, better be watching that every month.
Certainly if there's consolidation, and certainly if they're staffing 24/7, then response times, you know, vehicles out the door, personnel at scene, then, you know, and those kinds of things should be measurable. You know, I think that kind of data. I also think that a more robust financial reporting, especially on the consolidation of what the value was that came out of the consolidation, but also going forward, I think there should be a more robust validation and decision making of why they do it based on, you know, what the financial cost is versus what the return on investment is, and then what the measurement and how we're going to measure that return. I would like to see, like I said, a validation from the clinical side, from the MPD or the MPDD reports at the public meetings of to the level that they can, to ensure that we're getting good outcomes.
Well, hopefully you'll learn more about that tomorrow.
And that's one reason, and I'm hoping he will contribute 4 or 5 of those elements.
Does this stuff exist for Orcas Fire and Rescue?
So I've not been to their public meeting.
I was just wondering if we could ask Scott.
Scott, or Jay.
We need to sort of evaluate.
How do you guys do that? Yeah, and how does your community measure you?
And I think, of course, it's a question for Katie, like I said earlier. What's the best practice tell us people are doing to measure quality of service,
I think that's a good thing
care,
for her to be here,
outcomes,
you know, at the state level.
I'll see Scott next Wednesday.
Oh, good. Maybe before you see him, you can ask him if there's something he can bring to the party that would help.
Or if there's something online,
he can just point you to it and you can share it out. I mean, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
But just, we need to sort of feel it out a little bit, because I don't think we need to invent any of this.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. But so how does the state look at agencies with the appreciation of how it can be valued to the voters? And, you know, even in training, I mean, what is the level of training to the degree that it meets whatever competency requirements that there are? And are there shortfalls? And how do you validate that? Just so that there's a mechanism. And I don't look for this document to become the police of EMS or the police of fire, but I'm just trying to suggest that we need to have a balance so that there's an understanding and an appreciation. Even these questions at the board level, that the boards who are the elected officials would have a document that says, here's how I'm going to measure my agency and how I'm going to know it is going forward.
It should be a standard practice, right?
We've got
people who are taxpayers paying for this service.
Yeah.
It should be a standard, this might look standard.
Yeah. You know, you're
from
New York, man.
Yeah, no, no,
you're one of them Easterners.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Forget it.
I do think, too, like, what I am worried about, at least with the tone of this report, is how much it's going to become the campaign issue for the two boards, at least this year, because it's such a big turnover. You know, I mean, I think people are going to be campaigning on consolidation or not, potentially, based on this report.
Okay.
No?
No, probably.
Yeah.
I think so, too. My hope is that it's compelling enough to do the right thing, whatever the right thing
then
is.
And it's got to speak to some of the issues that have been out there.
Well, clearly, it needs to do that.
We're back. I mean,
right.
And I don't think we're trying to shy away from speaking to the issues.
No, I think I actually...
On the contrary, I'm a little afraid that we might be taking on a little more than we should in the speaking to the issues part.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think that this group, that I must say, I feel like this group has been openly honest and that they have not shied away from any of the... I felt that all four of you, and hopefully I haven't either.
You know, you're the fifth.
Yeah, well, I know, but I'm trying not to rank myself.
Okay,
well, my wife tells me you've got no place to rank. So,
yeah, I mean, I've said this before. I mean, the difficult for me in this whole process has been I wish we could have started in a discussion with the community first. And let's have this island-wide community set of small meetings saying, here's our services today. We could do this. We could do this. This is how much it costs. What are you willing to pay for and what do you expect out of that? And that would have been such a much better...
The problem with that, and I agree that that would be great, that's a really long process.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason it is education of the folks you're asking, because... The reason we elect people in a representative democracy is not because we're not smart enough to be those representatives, because we don't want to take the time that it takes to learn the issues well enough to make the informed decision that we want them to make.
Sure.
That's what governance is for, basically. And that's, I think, our role in this, is we're going to have to do the learning and then react more or less as we expect the citizenry would if they had spent the last 9 months learning about these topics, but they aren't gonna. And I don't know that I want to spend the next 9 months teaching them so we can then poll them. So I think the best thing to do for us is what we would do if we were elected, which we're not, and that is say, okay, we've studied it, and our conclusion is this.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best we can do, really. And probably all we're expected to do, frankly. I mean, we're appointed as, you know, five citizens to represent all of the citizens. We're just going to have to take that mantle and run with it, I think. That's life. Get used to it.
I think a vast majority of the citizens would say they're not one agency now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so little knowledge about any of this in the average Joe walking down the street.
It was just like when the town contracted with the district for fire service.
Yeah.
There wasn't anybody in town going, well, where's the town fire truck? The red truck still showed up. And so there have been, I mean, most town citizens had no idea that there...
Yeah, it was interesting when you talked to somebody and they said, what, there are two fire departments on this little island? What?
Y'all, when they call 911, they want...
They just want somebody
to show up in a truck, whether it's red or white.
Bring hoses and go to work.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, the community meetings are more, would have been more on an educational...
And it would take
less of
it would take months, and you get the usual suspects at those meetings, right? A town hall meeting means you'll get 20 or 30 folks who, like Karen, who already know most of it, you know. And you know how many more people? Yeah, you're still going to have the same problem of the man on the street interview when you go out there with a microphone and say, "So tell me, what do you think about EMT moving to fire?" What? It's not in fire. It's just going to be the action.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not the way we frame it. I mean, we're framed it.
I'm thankful, though, there's Karns to hold us.
You're just now responding. What you're doing right now is responding to Chuck's concern about not having gone out to the public to begin with, right? That's exactly right.
Okay. And the reasons why that may not be valuable or for the time investment at this point, or at any point, actually, in this process, possibly. But that we are them. We are the public.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it would be nice to do it, but I agree with George. But I'm also glad that there's Karns out there that keep everything, try to keep it honest. So that's important.
We have proposed doing a survey, just like
it's always a good idea. Yeah. I mean, I'm never opposed to that. You just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And half the time when you do a survey, you get uninformed opinions, but you get opinions.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. There's no shortage of opinion, turns out. What else can we do for you in this conversation around the, I don't know, value and everything else that we've been talking about? Anything that we...
No, I mean...
I'm not sure if you're persuaded. I don't know that you have to be.
No, I don't. No, actually, I don't have to be.
No, you don't.
I hadn't heard us talk about this. And so part of where my approach was I want to draw out of you guys, really, where we thought the value proposition was, not all of the mechanics, but where we really, because we've mostly talked mechanics. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've spent 90% mechanics. I think when, we queried, when individuals sat in that chair, we queried about the value proposition, but we've not really identified the value proposition out of this. And the mechanics, the public's absolutely not going to care about, in my estimation. No. They're not. No. It's the value proposition. And how do we measure its success or failure in what our recommendation is? Because I do believe that we would not have done our job if we don't give some type of mechanism to value this other than, geez, it just moved from this address to this address. If that's all that really happened, then I think, we've not done our job.
And we don't have the metrics to say much of that. And you can't necessarily say we're going to save $500,000 a year or whatever it is that you could say. So
at the end of the day, we can say it's a target, but then how do we measure that target?
Sure.
And if it misses the target, why are they going to come back and tell us that it missed? Mm-hmm. And so forth. I mean,
because there could be reasons, but
if there's valid reasons, sure, then it very well could be. But I do believe that in everything that you said is where I think we just need to spend a little bit more time. We can construct the verbiage and the mechanics, I believe, pretty easily.
We're kind of doing that now because that's what has been posted to the folder so far.
Right, right.
Mostly mechanics, because that's the part that isn't going to change. The rest of it could be
and
still subject to some discussion
and
different outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, George, it's, I wanted to start to really draw this out because it just felt like we weren't getting there. And it doesn't mean that, I buy in either or. The other side of me, though, doesn't see a downside either way. So it's kind of one of those things where it's not a wholly, is unless the people in the organization don't do what they should really do. And that's, to your point, I can't change that.
Well, there's a leadership question about, we have no leader really permanently in EMS, and we've got a brand new one in fire, and we're going to have a whole bunch of brand new commissioners. The governance and leadership stuff might all be in flux, and boy, that's questionable. But largely, the rest of the bodies at the levels below that are pretty permanently there.
And they are.
And what you don't want to do, my fear, my bigger fear than any of those, because, if we have to can the chief and hire a new one, fine, do it. If we elect a better board next time, great. But we might just elect a worse one too. Whatever happens, happens. But at the levels where actually you get served as a member of the community when the 911 call goes out, those guys have to be good at doing what they do. And those are the ones we want to be sure don't all get disheartened in this and don't all get blown off by whoever the new guy is, or end up whatever, walking out and ending up with, a handful of, hardened criminals who've got nothing better to do than to become EMTs.
Right. My perception of that, though, at the sub-sub level, so the EMT and or firefighter, Yeah, they're pretty rock stable because they're volunteers. At the paid level, I have a little bit of question about that because of what I've heard, and so it's not what Nathan only suggested last time in the his presentation of how they wanted to approach this being fire. I mean, I've heard that.
How fire wanted to approach this.
Yeah, as fire wanted to approach this event. And so that, you know, could be a little bit challenging.
Well, sure.
You know. So.
But as Kyron said, those are the people that are there now that are the problem. The ones that are on the fire commission who haven't got a clue what EMTs do or paramedics do. Anybody else in the medical
world. You know what you need? You need a champion for this this recommendation.
You need
somebody who is gonna really, really get behind it.